Welcome back to the Outdoor Adventures Podcast. This is your host, Sam Williams. We have been off the air for quite a while. It's hunting season. We've been busy. This is our 40th episode. So in the studio, I have my son, Michael Williams, and his grandfather, my dad, Bob Williams.
Hi.
Hello.
So we are here to talk about Michael's first time hunting with a gun in his hands. So he's 12. This was his first year he could legally go hunt. And so, first of all, Michael, what were you thinking about going on the hunt? Were you excited about it? Nervous? Did you know what to expect?
I was kind of excited, but I didn't want to miss school because from one class, I had like 6 hours of homework.
It's true. And your mom, before we left, his mom told me, you're in charge of getting him caught up on all of his schoolwork. So I emailed all of his teachers and I said, he ought to help me. But it was a lot. He happened to come back on, was it a Tuesday? You came back a day before me.
Wednesday.
But then he didn't have school on Thursday or Friday. But yet he waited till Sunday at about midnight to do all of his homework.
That's not true.
That's what I recall being up pretty late with you doing homework.
No, because remember we were fixing the elk tent. I finished all my stuff before it even was dark.
No, I don't recall that. Mm-hmm. I think it was pretty late.
I think you have short-term memory loss.
Could be. Hey, get that microphone close to your mouth or we're not going to be able to hear you.
Did you?
It is my dog.
That's better.
No, when we did the tent out there, Michael, you didn't do that before your homework.
I know. I did my homework before the tent.
Well, you had it. I don't know. That'd be very early.
Well, that day, yeah, Mom and Dad came over and we were going to fix my tent because we found some flaws in the tent on this trip. And so we trimmed all the poles and then hand drilled. Dad had a hand drilling thing. Or not, it wouldn't be hand drilled. What is it?
No, it was a drill press.
Well, we use a drill press, but then we use that tool. What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Hand threaded.
Threader.
So we threaded every bracket and it made it a whole lot better. But yeah, so he was starting his homework that day because grandma was helping him. But then we still kept going till pretty late that night.
We're here to talk about guns, not homework.
Yeah, I know, but we got a lot to talk about. So his mom did say, can we agree he's not mature enough to go hunting again next year? Do you recall that conversation?
Yeah, but like,
you think
I don't even need to say anything.
Do you think you can work on her between now and then? Or?
No, I mean, I'm just going to go regardless.
Oh. Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're in Eastern Oregon in an area that we've hunted before and we've kind of patterned these deer and kind of know what they're doing. And so we got there, I think it was Thursday, season started on a Saturday. And so we got our camp all set up and then we went out and shot the guns at the range, I think on Friday, didn't we?
Yep.
So we scouted the morning and we found a few bucks. We found a fork and horn and a spike that were together. And then we went out to shoot. And so we set up on a 100-yard target, and we had to wait. There were some other guys shooting. And Michael, how many times did you shoot at 100?
Once.
Just once? So I think he shot it once, and maybe I shot it once. And they were both on paper, so we thought we were good. And then this range we shoot at has all the way out to 1,000 yards. So we went up the hill. And Michael takes one shot at the 200 and spun the plate around. So we were feeling pretty good about his ability to shoot the gun.
Oh, yeah. He was dialed in.
And then the 400?
Yeah, the 400, you hit something. I don't know if you hit the metal or if the wood frame around it, but you definitely
hit. I heard a ding, though.
Yeah.
But it didn't spin.
Yeah. But he was pretty confident.
Oh, yeah.
In his ability.
I might have hit middle.
Yeah. So then we got back to camp, and I think Brent Norlander was with the three of us, and then Charlie and Adam, I think, had gotten there the next day, or that they came in that afternoon.
They came Friday afternoon,
and so we went out scouting that evening. You remember we saw that weird buck that was like a spike with a weird fork on the bottom of it?
Yeah.
So we had seen a few bucks, and we were feeling good about the next day, and so then we decided to go into the area we had kind of planned on hunting, and Adam and Charlie were going to go one way, and the three of us with Brent were going to kind of go another way. And as we were going in, we bumped into that fork and horn and that spike. And Michael, do you remember that?
Opening day?
Or? Yeah, opening morning.
No. We just saw a group of does because Grandpa went with Adam and Charlie, and me and you went with Brent on the right, and they went through the middle.
Oh, you're saying once we were walking. I'm saying in the vehicle on the way in, remember?
Oh.
We bumped into that fork and horn and that spike that was with those does.
Yeah.
And you got out of the truck with Grandpa, and you were trying to see if you could get a shot.
Yeah, I remember that.
But didn't you have trouble just getting the bullet in the gun?
Well, I was going to use a stick, but then I didn't really have time.
Oh, like shooting sticks?
Yeah. I just didn't have a good shot because they were all grouped up, and it was a mix. So I didn't want to risk it.
Yeah, they all kind of clumped together. And so we pursued them for a little bit, and then we decided to not do that. So then we got to the spot where we were going to hunt. And Charlie and Adam had told us they had seen, I think, 3 bucks or something when they first got there in the morning.
Yeah.
And so they were kind of making a play on the left side. We were going on the right side. And Dad, you kind of went up the middle, right?
Yeah, I was in the middle.
And so we're having a microphone technology. It's not working very good. There you go. Now you got it.
There,
that's better. Yeah. Well, we just got to be able to hear you, and you got to get past the beard too. You know. So we get in there where we wanted to hunt, and we'd seen kind of does running around, and Michael was kind of a little bit ahead of me, and we saw Grandpa kind of coming down, and when you were coming down, Dad, me and Brent and Michael were on this far side, and we're walking through there, and I jumped a group of deer, and I never saw a buck, but there was apparently a little fork and horn in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they came running right to me. There was a doe, and then the younger ones following. There was two does, and the buck came last.
Okay.
Came right to me.
And so it was pretty close to you and Michael, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was trying to shoot, but the bullet got jammed up.
So one thing, so I have a Bergara 6.5 PRC, and that's what he was hunting with. I called Bergara and said, hey, this thing only wants to hold 2 shells, doesn't seem to want to hold 3, and we're having trouble getting shells in and out. And so they're sending me a whole replacement bottom for the gun. Mm. So it must be a fairly common issue because they didn't even question it. They were good. It's already on its way. And they said they actually changed their whole bottom plate now to accommodate what they call an M5. So you could swap it out with like a clip. But now I can't do that. But that's why I'm looking at doing that MDT stock chassis instead. But anyway, so Michael was having some challenges operating the gun. He'd shot it good at the range, but he'd only ever shot the range, and he'd worked the bolt a few times. Remember, Michael, we had that snap cap and you were practicing on the sheep and stuff?
Yeah, but it was only one bullet.
Yeah.
It was only when I did multiple that it didn't work.
Yeah, so he was having some challenges. So then after you guys bumped into that buck, do you remember what happened next?
We kind of met up at the lot, or no, the coyote.
Yeah, so tell us the coyote. What happened there?
There was just a coyote running, like, in the plains.
And left to right, kind of.
Yeah, I was going to shoot it. Like, I had my scope aimed right at its head, and I thought I had put a bullet in the chamber. I thought I fixed it after the other deer had just ran by. And then the gun just clicked because there wasn't a bullet in the chamber, and I had it, my scope right on it. The coyote's head.
And he timed it perfect because he waited for that coyote to stop bounding and stop, and we all heard the click.
Yeah.
And we didn't know this, but at that time, Charlie and Adam had a 3-point in their sights, and it was kind of under a log, and they could only see the back of its back. And, you know, all of our commotion and stirring up those deer and stuff kind of pushed those deer out of their range. And so some other shooters to the left of us started getting some shots, and they, I think, got that fork and horn. I'm not sure if it was the same one.
Yeah, it could have been.
But then they also ended up getting the 3-point. So there was a lot of shooting going on, and deer were running every which way. So we told Brent, hey, Brent, and he'll tell us later, but we said, hey, you go to the bottom. Yeah. That's where those deer are going.
Well, there was like a herd of like 30 deer just running towards that way, and we're like, okay, you should go cut them off over there.
Yeah. So he headed down that way, and Adam and Charlie wanted to go pursue these other deer. And so we kind of jumped in on their plan, and Dad, you hung behind and just hung in the middle kind of.
Yeah, I did.
And so you know, Adam and Charlie were going far left, and me and Michael were kind of going more a direct approach. And so Michael, do you want to tell the rest of the story? Do you want to keep telling it, or do you want me to kind of get us to the about edge of the what? Cliff? Well, when things started happening.
Yeah, when you thought, I don't know if there's anything here, but what did you do and how did it get going, you know?
Well, we were over at the
We walked to this edge, basically, and we were looking down a cliff, kind of a canyon.
Yeah, but a while ago we heard Brent or a gun go off.
Oh, yeah. So we did hear a shot, and we assumed it was probably Brent because it was in his direction, but we decided we needed to kind of keep going on the hunt we were on and focus on, because there was just so much activity trying to get another animal potentially.
And nobody wanted to haul out a deer.
Yeah, true.
Well, yeah, we're not sure if he got it even.
You know, how many times in deer camp do you hear a shot and you're like, that's one of our guys? I mean, we've said that for 30 years, you know? And 9 times out of 10, you're like, was that you shooting? No, that wasn't us. Was it you guys? You know? Because it's really hard to know for sure. I mean, we were pretty sure that was his gun, but we weren't 100%.
Right.
So anyway, Michael, so we get to the edge of this canyon and we're watching, and I see this doe bedded underneath a log, and all you could see was her face, and she was just a little teeny bedded doe, and we were kind of to the right of her, probably about 450 yards, and we sat there and watched her. Michael, how long do you think?
Like 7 to 10 minutes.
It was quite a while. Yeah, and she was not moving. Like, she was deadlocked with us. I think she didn't know we could see her, but she was definitely watching us. And so, Michael, what did you decide to do as we were ready to kind of move on?
Well, I was just bored, so I threw a rock down it.
Well, I thought you threw a stick at first.
Yeah, I threw a stick at first, and it didn't really do anything. So I threw a rock farther, didn't do anything. And then you said that I should do it again, so I threw it. And then it still didn't do anything because I, like, barely even threw it anywhere. So you said to actually throw it as far as you could. So then the doe jumped up and the buck followed.
Yeah, so first when he threw the stick, I said, hey, Michael, I've tried that my whole life. I've never had it work for me. I've always wanted it to work. And I said, let's get closer to her and see if we can jump her up. And I don't remember him throwing 3 rocks. I remember him throwing 2. But I remember he threw the first one and he barely threw it. He kind of his heart wasn't in it. So I go, no, throw one for real. And then when he threw that one for real, this buck jumped up, and this buck is running in the bottom of the canyon, and we had to run parallel to it on the top of the canyon to try to get a shot, because we could see him and then we couldn't see him. And
but he was behind the doe, right?
Yeah. So and the doe kind of ran the other kind of just a little ways, and we couldn't really see her. But once we saw him, that was all we were focused on.
Right.
So we're running, and I'm carrying his shooting sticks, and he's actually ahead of me at this point. Probably, I don't know, 15 yards ahead of me running parallel with the buck. And, you know, it's a decent buck. We knew it was a good buck. And so I told Michael, I said, now you got to get closer to me, because if that doe shoots up on the other side, that buck's going to follow her. And who knows? I mean, he might not have, but that was what my theory was. And so sure enough, she did. And I go, get back to me. And so he gets back to me, and then the buck. And so at this point, because we'd had the gun challenges, he had a bullet in the chamber with the safety on. So he had one shot, and he had no bullets in his pockets, nothing else. No. So then, Michael, take us through the shot. First of all, what were you thinking as we were running? Were you confident this was going to work out, or were you nervous?
I knew if I could have time that I'd hit it, because I just have, like, that 99.9% accuracy, you know?
Yeah. But confidence?
Yeah. Accuracy.
Uh-huh.
So I was just going to wait for you to set up the sticks so I could 100% hit it, at least somewhere. And it kind of started, like, running up the other side of the canyon. And then I was going to shoot. I had a decent shot, but then it got blocked by a tree, so I waited for it to go on the other side, and then I shot and hit its, like, upper back lung, kind of.
Yeah, and I knew he'd got him right away. I mean, he dropped immediately, and I was ready to celebrate and high-five and hug Michael. And what were you saying?
That I couldn't hear out of my ears.
Yeah,
he told me you don't even notice it when you're shooting an animal.
But he noticed.
Oh, yeah. So then Grandpa had a new nickname for the gun the rest of the trip, which was what?
Thunderbolt.
No, I thought it was Thunderstick.
Thunderstick.
So we called my gun Thundersticked after that because it was loud. And I didn't notice the sound because I was focused on him and holding the shooting sticks. But he was, I mean, pretty shaken up by it, the noise of the gun. The recoil didn't bother him, nothing else, but then just the noise. And so I've got him some earplugs now that he'll be able to put in real quick, or those Walker's earplug things if he wants to try those. But anyway, it was a pretty cool moment, and it was a good shot. It was about 320 yards. I would say it might have been a little bit more than that.
Long shot, though.
Long shot. One bullet did the trick. And then in the meantime, Adam and Charlie, they had seen us running. So they had caught up to us, and they saw us running. So they knew we were up to something. And then obviously they heard the shot, and so they were right there. So we had to go down the canyon, then back up on the other side. And I was amped up, so I slipped in some shale and caught myself on my left hand, which ended up having a sore wrist for a while after that. But during that process, we found the buck right away. I mean, Adam and Charlie came to help us, and Michael got, it was a 4-point on one side and a fork and horn on the other. And it looked like where the fork side, that had snapped off at some point and healed. And so who knows what his history was, but pretty nice first buck, bigger buck than I've ever taken in that particular area. So
no, it was a nice buck.
Yeah. It was a pretty, pretty exciting morning. And we ended up getting two, by the time we got back to the truck, you know, Brent and Dad.
There's a lot more story in between the deer killing and the truck.
Well, go ahead. Tell us.
Well, we had to walk all the way to the other side of the canyon, all the way over and all the way up. And then we had to gut it, which I didn't really do much of. I kind of held it back at some points, but not really.
Well, we did the gutless method because of the hike out. We quartered him up, and we spent a lot of time caping because Michael wanted to taxidermy it. So we spent a bunch of time doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
And then I was going to put the head on my back, but it was like too heavy. I don't really remember.
Well, I was just worried if you tripped, I didn't want it to poke you, you know?
Yeah.
Because I figured, you know, I could weather that a little better than you could.
So I was like, I had 7 coats tied around my waist and I was super sweaty and they kept falling down. It was super annoying. And then we'd walk down the canyon. We just walked up and then walk up the other side. And then it was a pretty far walk back to the truck.
Yeah, it's 1.5 to 2 miles depending on, you know, where we were at.
And it's pretty rough. A lot of coyote holes and rocks and different things, sticks.
Especially those last 500 yards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with all that
green.
Yeah, all that green bush. But, I mean, you were a trooper. You never complained. I mean, not about your ears, you definitely complained. But as far as the walk, I never heard you complaining. To me, anyway. So we get to the truck, and I see, on our way to the truck, I see Brent, who I thought was Charlie, beelining down there. And I'm like, okay, that's got to be one of our guys, and they got a deer to deal with or something. So I hand off the pack that I had to Charlie, and I start taking after Brent because I knew he probably needed some help and was probably frustrated because his shot had been a while.
Oh, yeah, it was like 2 hours at least.
Yeah, and Dad knows that story better just because you were with Brent, right? You guys had made it back to the truck.
I met him coming up. I was heading actually over towards you guys, and then I ran into Brent. And I was heading up to the truck, and I had to go a lot slower than he did because I was beat. And so we got up to the truck, and he was just all nervous, told me the story about how he's got a buck down. And I said, well, you got it in the shade and stuff, don't you? And he said, well, it was when I put it there, but
yeah,
the sun was moving. So
yeah, because, I mean, we were out there till probably close to 2 o'clock in the afternoon by the time we got.
It was a while.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, then I said, you know, I'd go back down there with you to get it, to help you cut it or whatever you want to do, but there's no way I'd make it back up here in a timely fashion.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty gone.
I mean, it was a long ways. Yeah, the trip was hard on you a little bit because I don't know if it's your medication that you're on, but I'd never really noticed you ever get as red. Like, and it was more like sunburned. It wasn't like tired red. I don't think.
I was bright red. Yeah. At times.
You were. We beat you up, especially that first day, because we didn't stop. And so, you know, we get the two deer, and we're happy. Hey, we got two deer on opening morning. You know, and
three.
Opening morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we head back to camp and
spoiler alert.
And we make a game plan on what we're going to do for the evening hunt. And we end up getting into some action in the evening, and Adam was able to fill his tag in the evening. So it was, you know, and we saw some really nice bucks that we didn't close the deal on.
Right.
But we had a lot of action on this trip all in all, and we ended up filling three out of the five tags, and probably could have got the other ones done, but we just didn't for whatever reason. Timing didn't work out.
I'm pretty sure that opening day was the only day we saw bucks.
No,
besides scout day.
Well, remember those bucks that Grandpa on Old Saunter Road.
We
went down this road we call Saunter Road because his brother, Uncle Billy, killed a nice 4x5 on it. And it's a horrible road to road hunt. Yeah. Like, you can't see anything, hardly at all. But it's got steep canyons on both sides. And so we got up there, and it was like a swarm of hair and horns, a deer just flying everywhere.
Oh, yeah, that was something. But they went over the left side and down that cliff. But they were balling up so bad you couldn't pick out the buck. It wouldn't have been a safe shot, for
no,
sure.
No, you couldn't have taken a shot if you wanted to. Yeah. There wasn't enough time, but there was a lot of animals clustered up together. So, I mean, we got action most days. Michael, for you, another memory that I have was that I don't think it was that same evening that we saw those deer clustered up, where the three of us went and kind of hung out and watched those clearing while Adam and Charlie went into the bottom of that nasty hole. And Michael was getting harassed by the flies. They were driving him crazy.
Oh, I hate the flies. And bees.
And Grandpa kept trying to get him to use the restroom out in the bush because he was also fighting that and didn't want to do it. And
if we want to tell this story, I have a good story about Asian bears.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. Hey, we can go into the potty talk if you want to.
I'm good. But,
you want to leave that one out?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Yeah.
No, but he... It was sagebrush.
He dove in the sage,
and we were rubbing it all over him.
I was literally inside of the sage bush, and I was still getting harassed by flies. And then you were completely fine.
Yeah, they wouldn't mess with me. So, but we had—I mean, there was a lot of fun just in general. Just having Michael experience some of the things that I remember experiencing as a kid, and I mean, I didn't shoot a giant buck my first time, but you know.
Yeah, it was a great hunt. He did so good.
Yeah, I was really proud of him. For
paid attention. He kept cool, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't try to rush his shot. He waited until it got on the other side of the tree.
Well, he knew he only had one bullet, so it had to count, you know.
Yeah, he did good.
Yeah, I mean, next time I kill something opening day, which would be like every time I get a tag, once I can drive at least, I'll probably just like go home. Not the day of, but like maybe 2 days later, because I kind of just played retro bowl the entire time.
Yeah, well, once your deer was taken, you kind of were like, well, I don't care if anybody else. That was very obvious.
Yeah.
You weren't.
He was relaxed.
Brent was trying to get you to be a team player.
Yeah, he's like, you scored, but the team still needs you. And I'm like, well, I'm okay if you say that, but not if you leave the same day you say that.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael kept trying to. We kept trying to rally him to continue to be in the game, but he was not for sure wanting to be in the game.
I am bad at scouting for deer.
Or seeing them?
Yeah.
He's not used to looking out in the brush and finding deer.
Yeah. But I mean, it takes time to train your eyes to do it. So
He was tired, too.
Oh, yeah. That first day took a toll on all of us. I mean, the second day, we were all pretty wiped out.
Yeah.
Because we processed three deer.
It was super cold.
But not really. It never really got that cold. We never got frost in the morning or nothing, you know?
I mean, like, it usually is a lot colder, but it was still pretty cold.
Yeah, but we never even fired up the wood stove.
Yeah, that's true.
When I went to Idaho, we were cranking that baby every night.
Oh, yeah. So that had to be cold.
It was cold. Michael, what would you say to other kids that are thinking about hunting, or tips to give them for their first time going?
Try and find a short hunter's safety.
Course?
Yes. because they're kind of brutal, and I don't really remember too much.
His was 8 hours.
And a
probably
cold
do
room.
Your homework before you go.
Yeah, do your homework. Watch the videos if your math teacher sends you any, because she'll get mad at you. Yeah. And, I mean, just, like, get smart with guns and try and go to the range if you can.
Maybe practice loading and unloading it a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
One of those, like, fake bullets or whatever.
Snap cap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else about when you're actually hunting about that you think you learned this time about, you know, how fast to go? Or
Get your own pair of long johns because it's sometimes cold in the mornings. Pack snacks and a lot of water and just be prepared to walk a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good tips.
Shoes.
Yeah, he had a good pair of boots, and he had my long johns for most of the trip. And now he inherited my wool shirt because I washed it for the first time in 20 years, and it shrunk about 6 inches.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I just don't know what I was thinking. I just threw it in the laundry with everything else, and yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't smart. Well, how about you, Dad, on the other end of the spectrum? So, you know, Michael's 12 and you're 73. How was it as a 73-year-old out there?
Oh, it was good because I love that area. You know, it's vast, but it's good walking because downhill anyway.
Yeah.
Coming back's a different story. And that's why if you get a buck down there, a little fork and horn, I don't know if it's worth it for me.
To dig it out of a hole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why I would wait for a deer like Michael got. That was perfect, you know.
Well,
but,
it was.
But if you really need to get a deer, get a deer. Just take what you can, what's been given to you.
Yeah, and there's opportunity for sure. It seems like, you know, we've been hunting that area, and we've changed how we've hunted it, but we've been hunting that area now like 20 plus years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of you learn where they go and how they escape. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, we really kind of have it figured out to a point. I mean, yeah. I know it changes year after year. There was fresh fire over there too, so it's, you know, we thought that could impede us, but it really never was a factor.
No.
So the last couple of days it started getting kind of hazy to where you couldn't see that far. But
and also
now when we came back, we ran into a lot of smoke. Did you guys?
I don't remember, honestly.
Almost coming into sisters.
When we had the hardest time breathing was definitely in the tent because
The dust.
The dust was so bad this year. Yeah, because there was just no moisture in the air at all, and so it was a dust bowl for sure. I don't ever remember a year being that dusty.
Well, when you guys were still out hunting too, Michael and I went and thought we'd get that camp buck that was hanging around, you know. So he carried my gun some of the way, and we went up in a pretty good place right behind camp and then waited for a little while, but we didn't see anything. But the night before, they were right there. When we came back, that buck was running with them, so.
Yeah.
There was a buck right across from our camp. And
yeah.
When Brent and I think left a day before you guys did, and he saw him that morning right in our camp.
Right.
You know? So
I think that the area where we walked to, the final destination, if there wasn't a road or a bunch of camps, it would like be a really good spot.
Oh,
I feel
like
there'd be a lot of deer there.
You mean where we were hunting?
Where
you got yours?
Me and Grandpa went.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when we walked up, there was this open area with, it was just like any other place, but it looked like it'd be good if it wasn't right next to a road.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I wonder how much that really matters. I think the deer get used to the traffic, and there's a lot of woodcutters up there that are always out there, so I don't know that it bothers them that much.
Yeah.
I mean, once they start getting shoot at with old Thunderstick.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened this year is a lot of people that normally would archery hunt didn't because a lot of the roads were closed with the fires, and so we think we kind of had first crack at these deer. Because it was an opening morning like I've never seen.
Oh, yeah.
It was like they didn't realize hunting season had started,
yeah.
You know? So that whole opening day was pretty, pretty good hunting. All right. Well, do we have any passing words from anybody? Michael?
Nope.
No? You covered it all?
Yep.
You got all covered well.
He's pretty confident. I know that after he got his, as we were leaving, he was like...
After?
Well, he was kind of like, you know, I think this rifle hunting might be too easy for me. I might need to switch to archery.
Yeah. I mean, I actually want to because I feel like it'd be fun and more of a challenge, which makes it fun. Because I was talking all that smack and stuff like before I even killed it, like before it was even opening day. I said I'd get one opening day and all those things. And it's like, I think like 95% of the time, if I have time with a shooting stick with Thunderbolt or Thunderstick, I'll probably get one.
He's got a lot of confidence. He did tell me that when I die, he gets that gun too. Yeah. He made that very clear.
Or when you stop hunting.
Yeah. But I do need to go shoot it again because he doesn't remember doing this, but we, Grandpa and I think Brent could also vouch for it. Remember after he killed his buck that he was fiddling around with the scope knobs?
No, I wasn't.
Well, one of them fell completely off in my hand.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
Well,
I think Brent hit it with his knee because the scope side was pointing towards him.
Well, nobody knows for sure, but somehow we're not confident that the gun is 100% on. And Michael has another youth tag starting in 2 days on Saturday. And so I need to go shoot tomorrow and just make sure
dial it
we're
in,
good. Yeah. What about you, Grandpa? Any parting words?
No, I just say whenever you hunt, you want to make sure you have a tested weapon. And then you know your gun, you feel confident in it, and you be safe out there.
And a tag.
And a tag. Tags are always good.
Tags are important.
You want to stay compliant with all the laws of the land.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for sharing your story, Michael. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll have to have another one this Saturday, hopefully.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you confident you're going to get it done Saturday morning?
I mean, I'll definitely get one Saturday. I just don't know about the whole podcast thing.
Oh. Why are you so confident you'll get one Saturday? You've done a lot of scouting.
I just know what I'm doing, you know?
Like, he's on top of
you. You could just drop me off and come back in 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was the other thing you said, that, you know, I think maybe I should just do this on my own next time so that, you know, it's more challenging.
I just feel like it might be hard to find a good amount with a road hunt. So I might not get one open.
Oh, we're not road hunting. You're walking.
I thought you said we're road hunting.
Nope. I changed the whole plan on you, bud.
You did?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You're going to be walking.
Why?
Because boots on the ground, bud.
Why? You're such a liar.
No, I promise you.
Why?
Yeah. You're going to be hunting.
You're gonna drive to the area.
Yeah, we'll drive to the spot we're going to hunt, but then we're going to walk in.
Then you'll walk.
But it won't be terrible. A couple miles.
Okay, well, then I'll definitely go on opening. Wait, what?
A couple miles isn't bad.
It's not bad when you're out there hunting. You cover a lot of ground.
You're ready. You're conditioned.
Am I?
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for taking the afternoon and chatting about it.
All right, thanks for having us.
Cue the music.
All right. Ding. Do you know the music?
No.
You got to say Dan, cue the music.
Dan, cue the music.
There you go.